Good evening, it is 5 p.m. and this is JNYGK on CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. Today in YGK is brought to you by CFRC's news collective, Christina Laurie, Jesse Bell, and Ellie Sturton. CFRC's news programming is made possible by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What Will I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist, Christina Laurie, and here are your local news headlines. After 5 years since its closure, the Queen's Pub has officially reopened. Located at the heart of campus in the newly renovated JDUC, on the corner of University and Union, Queen's Pub has undergone a complete transformation, re-emerging not just as a student bar, but as a full-fledged restaurant. First opened in 1969 as the Quiet Pub, the Queen's Pub is student-run, with the AMS, the Central Undergraduate Society at Queen's, managing the location along with the Underground, a nightclub on campus. Both locations were forced to close in 2020 due to COVID-19. Grayson Martin, head manager of the pub, and Avery Papalides, assistant manager of marketing and events, spoke with CFRC leading up to the opening on Tuesday, June 3rd.
We want it to be a space where everyone can relax and have fun and really unwind from the day.
I know a lot of people kind of want to compare us to Clark or the Grad Club, but what I like about Queen's Pub personally is like it's a space where anyone is welcome at the Clark and whatever, but those are really tailored towards engineer students or Grad Club for grad students, where Queen's Pub were really right in the center of campus. Anyone is welcome. If you're a student, we don't have any like tailored demographics. Really anyone can join, have a good time, have some laughs with their friends.
One of the biggest changes is the more food-focused angle. Student-run fryers and microwave meals have been replaced with a modern kitchen, professional chefs, and a curated menu.
Well, so 5 years ago, the kitchen was all students. And so that really put a damper on kind of the quality of food and the consistency in the pub. And it caused the pub to not lose a lot of success and lose a lot of revenue. And also students didn't want to work in the kitchen. When you work at a student-run pub, the last place you want to be is making food or in the kitchen. So we hired a head chef, a professional cook, who made this amazing menu, still highlighting some old favorites from the pub, but bringing in all these beautiful new dishes and training his own staff of outside permanent staff hires and really increase the quality. And then also you'll see when you come in here, this doesn't look like a dingy student bar anymore. This looks like a professional place. It's really well done. It's this beautiful wood everywhere. And the only thing that's missing is a bit more character, which is what the next few years are going to do, right? We're going to open up and have more people come in and add that culture and traditions and bring it to life.
The kitchen was a microwave, one fryer. Now we have a really fancy kitchen that's huge and state of the art from what our head chef tells us. We have a really comprehensive and unique menu with a lot of things that, from my opinion, what would allure me to come here is I can't cook this stuff at home. It's definitely going to be exciting to be able to try out the menu.
Another change that has caught attention, no more nightclub. While AMS Pub Services are bringing back Queen's Pub with a different landscape in terms of policy and student interest, it was decided that the Underground will not be making a return.
One of the biggest learnings from the AMS in the 2010s was that students don't actually want to go to a student-run nightclub. and I remember going through some old journal articles and you kind of see just a progressive decline in revenue and profit. And so I think eventually they realized that, and when JDUC was being renovated, they were trying to decide what to keep, how should we redo the pub, and I'm sure they considered maybe we should bring back the Underground, but I think that was shot down by looking at how successful it was in its last few years of operations. Because times have changed, students have changed, and policies have changed a lot. So it's you have to be careful with opening a spot on campus that's affiliated with a school that serves alcohol, right? There's a lot of liabilities and a lot of policies you have to adhere to. So how we present ourselves and the way we serve has to be in a responsible manner. And so the design of Queen's Pub now is kind of built around that and making sure it's safe and the school is accepting of us running as a business.
It's definitely more of a casual environment. I feel like not everyone, especially when you're busy during school, wants to get dressed up and go out and have a huge ordeal of a night. Obviously, you walk downtown and you have plenty of options to go do that. But at the pub, like Grayson was saying, we're really focused around food first. Drinks are kind of the accompanying fun little aspect to it.
It's an evolution of kind of student run bars learning. You know, as back in the 70s and 80s, it was very loose with the rules, right? There was a lot of freedom with drinking, but then things go wrong and more rules and policies get put into place. And so those are things we have to adhere to and we have to follow. And Clark abides by the same rules because they're also on campus. And so opening up on campus as a new spot, we have to really think about the future as well, as how are these going to change, or are there going to be more rules? And so a very safe way and a good way of operating is to focus on the food first.
While the landscape can be challenging, with the summer ahead to prepare for an influx of students in the fall, the Queen's Pub is optimistic about its new beginning.
What we're so excited about is this is the first year of operations. You know, I'm so excited to be able to come back here in 5 years and see how much has changed and see how they've improved, and also really set the foundation for this place in making this culture and making these new traditions, and really making this a spot for students on campus and working with everyone to make this a place that everyone wants to go to. The one thing we've been saying to our team and to everyone is we really want to walk before we can run, right? This summer is set in place to be kind of a testing period and for us to learn as much as possible. So that way, when we get a huge flux of students come in August and September, we're ready to take that on. So those are kind of our near goals now. And then come the school year, we want to start doing some events. We want to start seeing how we've operated and what we can afford to do. And if we can bring in special people, special events, maybe some music, and really become and integrate ourselves in this Queens community and the going out community around here.
We're really in this for the students. Being affiliated with the AMS and being an AMS service, the AMS isn't a profit-driven service. We really just want to break even. Our goal for the summer is really to just see what works, see what doesn't, get our core staff trained before we triple the amount of staff that we hire for the school year. We really just want to set a good foundation in stone before we have, 20, 30,000 students come in and all of a sudden we're the face of campus right on the corner of University and Union. We're excited to expand in the fall, but yeah, like we keep saying, I laughed because it's kind of an ongoing motto is we're walking before we can run. We're very excited.
Really, I just didn't want to keep going around and around in circles on this issue. So I'm just looking for more.
That's out of order.
That's out of order. That's a dad joke. I have 5 kids.
That was Councillor Ryan Boehm speaking at Tuesday night's council meeting as he introduced a motion seeking more information about how the city decides when and where to build roundabouts. Last month, council approved the first major roundabout in Councillor Boehm's district in Kingston's East End to be built at a cost of $3 million. That decision came in place of installing traffic signals, which would have cost $1 million. Now, Councillor Boehm is asking for a deeper look into whether more roundabouts could be feasible around the city. His motion notes that roundabouts are becoming increasingly common in other municipalities as an alternative to traffic signals. They offer several potential benefits, including improved traffic flow, reduced emissions, slower vehicle speeds, and fewer severe collisions, contributing to both safety and sustainability goals. However, the motion also acknowledges challenges. Roundabouts require more space than traditional intersections, which can impact construction costs, property acquisition, and the surrounding area. With unanimous support from council, city staff have now been directed to prepare a report by early 2026, detailing the city's traffic control policies and outlining how roundabouts are evaluated for new and reconstructed intersections.
Short story long. Essentially, this is just looking for more information. Roundabouts definitely do have their place. We don't seem to be building a lot of them. So it was just in a conversation with staff of like to try to figure out like where that holdup may be. Is it a planning thing? Is it a money thing? Basically, it's more just trying to get more information. It does sound like going forward, we're probably going to start to see more of them in appropriate places. But this was more just to try to sort of understand from top, from beginning to end, how that whole evaluation process works. Obviously we see them popping up in many places around us, but kind of want to understand how and when and why, and hopefully we will see more of them being built here. So that's as simple as it is. It's just looking for more information on that.
For CFRC News, this has been Christina Laurie, supported by the Local Journalism Initiative.
This is your Environment Canada weather report for the Kingston region. Monday, June 9th, daytime high of 19 degrees with a 70% chance of precipitation throughout the day. That 70% chance of rain stays consistent overnight as the temperature drops to a low of 15. Tuesday, June 10th, daytime high of 20 degrees with a mix of sun and cloud and a 40% chance of precipitation throughout the day. It's going to be a clear, beautiful night, dropping down to 13. Wednesday, June 11th, daytime high of 22 degrees and a low possibility of rainy weather in the forecast, just a 30% chance of precipitation dropping down to 16 overnight. Thursday, June 12th, a daytime high of 22 degrees with a mix of sun and cloud dropping down to 11 overnight. Moving towards Father's Day weekend, Friday, June 13th, daytime high of 21 degrees, a mix of sun and cloud going back down to 11 overnight. Saturday, June 14th, a high of 19 with cloudy conditions. Sunday, June 15th, staying consistent in that 18 to 20 degree range with a 40% chance of precipitation. Monday, June 16th, going to be a beautiful day here in the city of Kingston. Daytime high of 22, and it's going to be beautiful and sunny. Tuesday, June 15th, more sunny weather in the forecast. Daytime high of 23 with a mix of sun and cloud. This is your City of Kingston traffic report for the week. Public Services and Procurement Canada wishes to advise the public that the LaSalle Causeway will be fully closed to vehicles, cyclists, and pedestrians to allow for the temporary opening of the main marine navigation channel during the following periods. For the summer, the dates of closure are June 8th, June 15th, June 22nd, June 29th, July 1st, 6th, 13th, 20th, 27th, August 3rd, 10th, 17th, 24th, and 31st, and September 7th. It will be closed 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. on each of those summer dates. The fall closure dates are September 21st, October 5th, 14th, and 19th, and November 2nd and 16th, and the causeway will be closed from 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. on those dates. Now for this week's relevant road closures. Albert Street, Princess to Mac, is closed to accommodate construction activity and staging at 484 Albert Street. Aberdeen Street, William 2 Johnson, is closed to accommodate construction activity and staging. Aberdeen Street, William 2 Earl, is closed until June 11th for paving operations. Berry Street, Queen to Colborne, closed for construction-related activity at 283 Queen Street. Cassidy Street, Montreal to Maple, is closed until June 20th as part of the ongoing intersection improvements of Montreal and John Counter. Earl Street, Collingwood to Toronto, is closed for sewer separation and road rehabilitation work. Lakeshore Boulevard, front to Joreen, closed until June 13th to rehabilitate the existing sanitary system. Pine Street, Division to Cherry, closed June 9th from 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. for sewer relining. South Bartlett Street, Smith to Victoria, closed until August 29th for construction-related activity at 655 Princess Street. Sydenham Street, Princess to Queen, closed until October 3rd for the Sydenham Street Community Space. Victoria Street, Union to Johnson, closed for sewer separation and road rehabilitation work. Victoria Street, Princess to North Bartlett, is closed until August 29th for construction-related activity at 655 Princess Street. And Wortman Avenue, Lakeshore to Lakeland Point, is closed until June 13th to rehabilitate the existing sanitary system.
Now let's take a look at some community events happening around town this week. On Monday, join Kingston Pride for a crafting night and beading workshop at Jeannie's Place on Princess Street from 5 to 7 p.m. Folks can bring their own project or use the free art supplies there. On Tuesday, head to Kingston Gaming Nexus from 6 to 9 p.m. for Pride Game Night. Hang out, play some games, and connect in a welcoming space. On Wednesday, Kingston Pride and drag artist Bewitched are hosting a drag makeup workshop at the Central Branch of the Kingston Frontenac Public Library from 4 to 7 p.m., open to anyone 14 and up. Just remember to bring your own makeup as supplies won't be provided. On Thursday, start the day with Stories in the Square at Springer Market Square from 10:30 to 11 a.m. Hosted by the Public Library, this free event features stories, songs, and sunshine. That evening, Art Noise is running life drawing from 6 to 8 p.m. with a live male model, and the drop-in cost is just $10. Over at Domino Theater, the dark comedic play Decrepitude Blues starts at 7:30 p.m. Tickets range from $10 to $20 and are available at the door. Folks, this show will be running until June 21st. Then from 8:30 to 10:30 p.m., head to Hotel Wolf Island for a special night of storytelling with Dave Pomfret and Martin Verrill. This event is free and celebrates the launch of Pomfret's debut novel, Lily. On Friday, join QLab Community for Craft Jam at BSE Skate Shop and Coffee Bar from 6 to 9 p.m. For $8, you'll get paint supplies and access to a cozy art night on the patio, plus drinks and mac and cheese. And if you're in the mood for singing, karaoke runs from 9 p.m. to 12:30 a.m. at the Buckle. On Saturday, get excited for some great Pride events. The Kingston Pride Community Fair runs from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at Confederation Park, featuring local artisans, community groups, and live performances. The Pride Parade kicks off at noon from the Memorial Center and it winds its way downtown. Then at night, an evening of Pride lights up Confederation Park from 7 to 10 p.m. with a drag show featuring Perla from Canada's Drag Race and a stacked local lineup. Also on Saturday, YGK Craft Beer Fest returns to Fort Henry from 12 to 8 p.m. and general admission is $20. The Kings Court Street Festival runs from 3:30 to 7:30 p.m. with a neighborhood parade, barbecue, and live jazz. Island Talks runs at Hotel Wolf Island from 11:15 a.m. to 12:45 p.m. with author Sarah Selecki. Or folks can catch Sapphic Delights at Something in the Water from 8 to midnight with drag, games, and dancing. Tickets are $20 in advance or $25 at the door. At 10 p.m., Timeout Bar and Bistro hosts a free 19-plus drag show with Becca Blake, Tiffany Morgan, and Dixie Landers. And finally, the Forever Gala in celebration of Kingston's Animal Rescue's 15th anniversary. It's happening at the Isabel Bader Center from 5 to 11:30 p.m., with tickets available for $175 each or $325 per pair. On Sunday, the Kingston Community Brain Tumor Walk takes place at Breakwater Park. Registration starts at 10 a.m. and the walk kicks off at 11. Or check out the Brock Street Block Party running from 12 to 4 p.m. with street shopping, games, live music, and a roaming bar between King and Wellington. And Sunday evening, Alina Ballerina's Summer Gala hits the Kingston Grand Theater at 5:30 p.m. with performances in jazz, tap, ballet, and more. Tickets are just over $39 for adults and $33 for youth. Got a community event you'd like us to share? Head to cfrc.ca and let us know. Hi folks, it's CFRC's Ellie Sturton, and coming up are some great live music events you can check out around town this week. On Monday, Angela Verbrugge brings swinging vocal jazz to the RCHA from 4:30 to 6:30 p.m. Tickets are $20. And at the Cove Inn, Cameron Wyatt plays indie rock on the patio from 5 to 8 p.m. as part of the Monday Musical Residency. Entry is by donation. On Tuesday, the Cove Inn hosts Tuesdays with Eric and Megan from 5 to 8 p.m. It's a cozy evening of fiddle and folk with entry by donation. And over at the Grand
Theater, Wayne Scott's tribute to Elvis starts at 7:30 p.m., backed by the Memphis Mood Band and special guests. Tickets range from $45 to $65. On Wednesday, it's Wings and Tunes at the Cove Inn with Sean McCullough and friends from 5 to 8 p.m. Grab some wings and join the open mic and maybe win a prize. Blues fans can catch Jeff Dunn live at Time Out Bar and Bistro from 7:30 to 9:30 p.m. But if you're up for something louder, Tumble's Lost in Light tour hits Hotel Wolf Island from 8:30 to 10:30 p.m. with Montreal guests Mooch. Tickets are $15 to $20. On Thursday, grab your guitar for Country Open Mic with Clem Chesterfield at the RCHA from 7 to 10 p.m. with a $5 cover. Or head to the Cove Inn to see the award-winning country blues legend Morgan Davis play a special solo set from 5 to 8 p.m. with a $15 cover at the door. Check out Who's Here, live at Grace United Church in Gananoque from 7:30 to 9:30 p.m. Tickets range from $20 to $25 and raise funds for the church's efforts. The Thousand Island Country Fest kicks off on Thursday at Happy Green Acres Campground with Abby Stewart at 7 p.m. and Lemon Cash at 9. Tickets are $39 per day or $99 for the full weekend. On Friday, the Sittin' Ducks bring classic rock and country to the RCHA from 8 to 11 p.m., $5 for non-members. The Thousand Island Country Fest continues with Paige Rutledge, Dean James, and John Norrand on the bill. At 7:30 p.m., award-winning organist Nathan Avakian performs at Kingston Korean Church. Just call ahead to reserve tickets. And the Grit and Grind Fest launches on the mansion's patio at 5 p.m. with a full lineup of heavy music. Tickets are just $30 in advance. Folks can also catch Purple Diamonds at Time Out Bar and Bistro from 6 to 8 p.m. and fast forward to Friday, playing at Wharf and Feather from 6 to 9 p.m. On Saturday, the Spectators play the RCHA from 8 to 11 p.m. with a $5 cover for non-members. And the Thousand Islands Country Fest wraps up with music all day at Happy Green Acres, featuring Lucas Oak, Mackenzie Leigh Meyer, and David Boyd Janes, closing it out at 9 p.m. Over at the Hotel Wolf Island, Bryce Clifford and Brother Briscoe play from 6 to 9 p.m. And at Spearhead Brewery, Mauricio Montesinos performs Latin guitar from 2 to 5 p.m. Stick around at Spearhead Brewery for a fundraiser from 7 to 10 p.m. supporting Kingston's Rosewell rehearsal space. It features the Killdeers, Clem Chesterfield, and the Bon Evans Band. That one is $15 or pay what you can. And on Sunday, Gerald McGrath brings indie rock to Spearhead Brewery from 2 to 5 p.m. And at Time Out Bar and Bistro, Landon Martin and John McClurg perform from 3 to 6 p.m. Got a local concert or music event you want us to share on air? Head to cfrc.ca and let us know.
Thank you for tuning in to CFRC's local news programming. To revisit episodes of Today in YGK and hear more from some of our guests, be sure to head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Today in YGK is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear, 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.
What'll I Wear offers the best in vintage, funky, one-of-a-kind treasures, clothing, accessories, and a fabulous selection of jewels, vintage and new. Find the cutest purse, the most dashing of hats and sunglasses, everything to complete your individual look. What'll I Wear has it all. They can dress you from top to bottom. Find your new fashion fave at What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street in Kingston. Visit their new location and follow them on Facebook to keep up to date with what's in store at What'll I Wear.